Recorded live high atop the Dick Warlock building in beautiful Midtown Portsmouth, Virginia, it's Phantasmo After Dark with your host, Rob Floyd. Tonight's topic, Halloween. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the old podcast, and this is the Halloween edition, seeing as Halloween is next week, and hopefully this is going up right now, the week before Halloween. Man, I'm always busy this time of year. Got so much stuff going on, so many things I want to do, so many things I have to do, events, haunted houses, so many movies I need to watch, I want to watch, stuff I want to read just to get into the season, and there's just not enough hours in the day, it seems like. Man, I love this time of year, though. There's, all the haunted house attractions popping up. There's some pretty cool ones in the area. Hopefully, I'll get to check out a few of them before it's over. And cool stuff coming on TV, the different horror movie channels and such showing good stuff. All the candy in the stores and too much cool stuff to try and out there to buy. And not enough places to put it in my house, which is kind of looks like Halloween all year round anyway. But man, speaking of things coming up, if you are in the area and next weekend, the 28th, 29th, and the 30th, the 28th and the 29th, I am hosting, being the MC, that is, for two special showings of the original John Carpenter's Halloween at the Narrow Expanded Cinema on Colley Avenue in Ghent. Section of Norfolk. If you've never seen a theater, this is your chance. It's going to be amazing. The Narrow is a great old historic theater, and Friday and Saturday night at 9 o'clock, we're showing Halloween. It's going to be amazing. And if that's not enough, also on the 30th, we're doing another horror-themed Halloween burlesque show, Terror Tease. It's going to be really cool. If you've never seen burlesque before, or if you've never seen a horror-themed burlesque before, you should come out. Tickets are available online. Check the Facebook events. Look up Terror Tease. They're $10 in advance and $15 at the door, and it's going to be an amazing show. I can promise you that. It's going to be a lot of fun. But hey, now on with tonight's topic. We're talking Halloween here. My favorite holiday. My favorite time of the year, fall. The weather's changing, it's getting cooler, there's a chill in the air, and it starts to feel like Halloween when that happens. And there's just things you have to do at Halloween. You have to. You have to go to a haunted house. You have to go out to some haunted attraction. And there's plenty of them right here to choose from. We went up the other night. We went up to the Red Vein Army haunted house out in Ashland, near Richmond, Virginia, and it was pretty cool. It was really, if you get a chance to go out there, it's way out in the middle of nowhere on a farm, and the setting alone is just getting there is creepy and sets the mood, and it's a lot of fun. It's part corn maze, part haunted house. It has a little story running through it, and it's a good one. I recommend going out to it. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to see at least one or two others before the season's out here and they close down. But other things, man, other things you got to do. You got to watch Halloween movies, Halloween TV specials. Used to love the, count the days for those come on when I was growing up. Whatever, favorite shows I was watching, the Halloween episodes. Or, just the Halloween specials. You got to watch The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Who doesn't watch that at Halloween? It's a classic.
I got a rock.
Got to watch that. The original Halloween. If you can't get out to the Narrow to see it in a theater, man, you got to watch it on TV. You got to watch it on DVD or what have you at least once. That is probably the gold standard for Halloween movies. 1978, John Carpenter. I can't say anything about this film that hadn't already been said before, just how good it is. And, it's not a gory film. People tend to think that it is, much like Chainsaw, Texas Chainsaw. It's not a gory film, but it's suspenseful as hell, and it does a great job of misdirection and building the suspense. A lot of that has to do with not only Carpenter's direction, but his music. That famous theme, the Halloween theme, that it has a chilling effect when you hear it. You know exactly what it is, and that something bad is probably getting ready to happen. But man, that music really sets the tone of that movie. And again, it is such a good movie. And I'm not going to go over the plot here, because if you haven't seen it yet, you need to. I'll just leave it at that. But it's a great film. And Halloween, and you go on. I mean, Halloween 2 continues from that. It's the same night. And that's a good film, too. But once you've seen the original, anything after that is kind of, always kind of pales in comparison. But the second one is pretty good. It's not bad at all. Same night, same actors continuing the story. Then Halloween 3. Now, Halloween 3 has got a bad rap over the years. A lot of people have tended to talk down about it, hate it. And it didn't really do good at the box office either, because, coming off the heels of Halloween 1 and 2, and then this is called Halloween 3, and there's no Michael Myers in it. Now, the original idea, though, for these films, Carpenter and Deborah Hill signed on as producers to this. I think they actually might have had a hand in writing it, too, or did write it, but they with the stipulation that it wouldn't have Michael Myers in it. And their idea was to continue to make Halloween movies, make one a year, and each movie be separate and independent of the previous one, and make like an anthology series, but each story revolved around Halloween night or Halloween. And that would have been kind of cool. I'd like to have seen what they've done, what they would have done with that, because I'm not really a big fan of the Michael Myers movies after the first two. I know some people that are, love them to death, but I think I'm not alone in saying that after the first two, they're just whatever. If you want to watch them, great. But it'd be really cool to see what they would have done, especially if Carpenter would have stuck with it and continued to make anthology movies and Halloween 4, 5, 6, 7, and just different stories around Halloween. That would have been kind of cool. Now, there's other stuff you gotta watch at Halloween. Everybody at some point or other has watched Night of the Living Dead. And that is the classic, another, I'm going to use that tagline, the gold standard by which all of the zombie movies are judged. The one that kind of set the tones, set the pace, the standard for the Living Dead. Great film. I can't say enough about it. Shot in black and white. You've seen it. I don't have to talk about the movie itself or the plot. And if you haven't seen it, shame on you. You need to see it. And a good chance to see it, actually, will be Saturday the 28th on WHRO, public television here in Tidewater. You can also watch on streaming on WHRO. I believe it's either 9 or 10 o'clock. I'll have to look it up. The Dr. Madblood's annual Halloween show. And he's showing Night of the Living Dead. Dr. Madblood was the horror host in this area that I grew up watching and never stopped watching. He's the guy. He's the horror host for me and always has been. And anybody that grew up in this area has watched Dr. Madblood at one time or another. 41 years and still going and still putting out a new show every year on WHRO now. He started out on Channel 10. It was every Friday night. Every Saturday night through the 70s and the 80s, and switched stations throughout the area, and then was off for a couple of years, but still doing things and making appearances, and was back on and did a show on Friday nights for a while recently called the Friday Night Frights, where they showed Alfred Hitchcock episodes and then Boris Karloff's Thriller. That was interesting. I don't think any of the horror hosts had ever done that. Usually they would show a movie, so that was really kind of cool. But when that was done, he just kept on doing an annual Halloween show. And it's really kind of cool. It's still on 41 years. It's amazing. I hope he continues for quite a few more. But if you get a chance, check it out. You can, like I say, if you like horror host stuff, you just want something cool to watch on Halloween, WHRO, Saturday the 29th. Either 9 or 10 o'clock, it'll be streaming on WHRO website also. And it's Night of the Living Dead. And you might see some familiar faces in the background in some of the scenes too. So I'm just gonna leave that right there. Man, other stuff you gotta watch at Halloween. We're getting a little family friendly here. Hocus Pocus is a great, fun movie. I'm not ashamed to say it. It is. There's nothing gory about it. It's a lot of fun. Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathy and Jimmy. Great family film. Watch it with the kids. Watch it with anybody. A lot of fun. It's become a staple tons of people love this movie, and rightly so. It, like I said, it's just a fun Halloween movie, and, you know, Gary Marshall and Penny Marshall playing husband and wife, brother and sister playing husband and wife. so look for that in there too. But that's on all the time around this time of year on, you know, just about any channel you can find it. And if not, it's readily available on DVD. We watch it every year. You gotta see it. It's a lot of fun. Now, other stuff out there, you know, I'm always, always will say watch the Universal horror movies. The classic monster series, Frankenstein, The Wolfman, Dracula, The Creature from Black Lagoon, Invisible Man, The Mummy series. Those are so much fun, and so, you know, and the early ones especially, so well made. Classic horror, and you can't beat Karloff, Lugosi, or Chaney, you know, for classic horror movies, and they're just amazing, and the prints that are out now on Blu-ray are just beautiful. They're cleaned up, they're sharp, they're beautiful to look at. I just watched, actually, earlier this afternoon, whenever a former co-host here on the old podcast, Tony Mercer, and I got together and watched his copy of Creature from the Black Lagoon in 3D, and let me tell you, it was beautiful. Man, the 3D was amazing on this thing, and the print was sharper than I've ever seen it, and it was a joy to watch. I'd love to go watch it again sometime. It was amazing. If you don't have it in 3D, or if you get a chance to see it in 3D and in the Blu-ray print 3D, do yourself a favor and do it and watch it. It was just fantastic. Any of those movies, though, from that era are a lot of fun, and especially at Halloween. I always have to watch The Wolfman and Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman this time of year. Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman, actually, I've said this many times, was the first Universal classic monster movie that I ever saw in full, and was the first time I ever watched Dr. Madblood. That's what they were showing. So that one really has just a special place for me, and I will be watching that over the next couple days at some point. And you should, too. Now, not only the Universal, but, you know, the Hammer films are great, too. And especially the earlier ones like Horror of Dracula, Curse of Frankenstein. Those are fantastic. Curse of the Werewolf. And anything with Peter Cushing in it. but, you know, getting away from the classic stuff for a little bit. One of my probably all-time favorite in recent years Halloween-themed movie has got to be Trick or Treat. And I'm not talking about Trick or Treat with Mark Skippy Price as Rock's Chosen Warrior and Sammy Kerr from the 80s. I'm talking about Trick or Treat, which came out just a few years ago, early 2000s, I believe. And it's a great, incredibly well-made anthology film that takes place on Halloween night. And it revolves around the central character of Sam. I know you've seen this character. Pictures is a little kid in orange footy pajamas with a burlap sack mask over his head. And he's kind of like almost like the crypt keeper kind of character. He never speaks, and he's wandering in and out of these tales. And the amazing thing about this film is not only do you have this central character that weaves in and out, but every story is connected to the other one in one way or another. And you don't know this right at first. You don't notice it at all. Whatever's going on in the foreground in whatever main story you're watching, something is going on in the background that later on is the main part of that story. And you see the first story from the other angle happening in the background. Or well, the characters will cross paths at some point and just go on, and you'll think nothing of it until later on when they always show up. That's the main story. It's done incredibly well. I was blown away the first time I saw it and was not really expecting it to be as good as it is. And we watch it every year and sometimes throughout the year when it's not even Halloween. But it's one of those films that, you know, once in a while you would get a film that you just have to show your friends or you have to show people. And this is one of those films I just have to put out there. You know, every one of my friends has to see this film, especially at Halloween. I think we've shown it at Phantasmo at least once over the years, once or twice. I cannot say enough good things about this film. It is readily available on Blu-ray and DVD, Trick or Treat. Yes, the middle is just the letter R. It's a fantastic film. And I highly recommend checking this out if you get a chance and you make the chance. Go watch this film as soon as you can if you haven't seen it yet. Now, there's tons and tons of films I could talk about at Halloween. You know, TV specials, the least of which is the Paul Lynde Halloween special from, this, I think, 76. That is available on DVD. Yes, I do own it, mainly because it was one of the first times I'd heard about the band Kiss was on this special, and I never got to see it growing up, but I heard about it from my older cousins. But I finally got to see it a few years ago, and whew, let me tell you, you're talking Paul Lynde, and remember, this was the 70s, so you've got Kiss as the guest, you've got Paul Lynde, you've got Witchy Poo from Puffin' Stuff, you've got Margaret Hamilton, who is the witch in The Wizard of Oz, both of them on here with Paul Lynde, Tim Conway, Pinky Tuscadero, Roz Kelly from Happy Days. God, who else is on? There's a few other people on there. It's amazingly cheesy and horrible. And the Kiss bits are great because it's them playing, you know, and so that's awesome. But the rest of it is just, ooh. You got to be a diehard Kiss fan to sit through it all, or a diehard Paul Lynde fan, you know, either one. But there's so many other ones out there to watch and to look for, and whatever your favorite TV show is usually does a Halloween episode, and those are always fun to check out. But man, there's so many other things that about Halloween that are just really cool. Like I was saying before, all the stuff in the stores, the decorations, the costumes, the candy, everything that just makes the season what it is. And I just remember when I was a little kid, you know, I always looked forward to this time of year and going to the store and seeing those racks and racks of boxed Ben Cooper or Collegeville costumes. And as cheesy and crappy as they were, and especially by today's standards, the way they make costumes for kids today is just incredible. But those were just awesome. And, you know, you had to go pick yours out. You had to have one to go trick-or-treating in. And the fun of going and hunting through the store and picking out just the right character that you wanted to be is just a joy that I really miss being an adult. I would love to go back and do that again. And those costumes are highly collectible these days, too. So if you do have an old one in a box somewhere, they're not worth anything. You can go ahead and send it to me, and I'll take care of it for you. I would like to collect those. I do have a few of them, but not that many. But man, they're so cool. Those cheap plastic masks that would you'd almost suffocate because the little nose holes and the mouth holes were so small. Those fabric and plastic slip-over jumpsuit costumes it wasn't much of a costume, really. Usually it was a picture of the character on the chest of the costume. but the masks were always cool, and the boxes were just, you know, it just screams Halloween to me whenever I see pictures of those things. Because that was, you know, my childhood. That was what you did. And I remember going into stores and seeing just, you know, shelves of these box costumes. And then there'd be a rack over on the side of just the plastic mask with no costume. I bought many of those as a kid. And if you had, you know, real money, you know, more than 10 bucks, the over-the-head rubber mask were a big deal if you had one of those. And I had a few of those as a kid, too. But I never did get any of the Don Post Calendar mask. Those, oh, the Holy Grails. I'd love to have those. Even the reissues of those would be amazing to have. But, man. And another, besides the costumes, some of the decorations. When I was, you know, the decorations today are amazing. The stuff you can buy to decorate your yard or your house. There's just some incredible, amazing animatronic stuff out there and just static prop stuff that is just incredible for the price. Pretty affordable, most of this stuff. And aside from making the stuff yourself, which I really love to do, to make my own props and stuff, a lot of this stuff is just incredible that you can get nowadays. But I really, really have a strong affection for the stuff from when I was a kid. And I'm slowly finding pieces here and there at thrift stores and things. I know, you know, there's people out there, and hopefully there's some people out there listening that remember some of this stuff like I do. The old blow mold yard decorations that you'd plug in and light up. And what I mean, blow mold, they're hollow plastic shapes of either ghosts or witches or skeletons or monsters or tombstones or jack-o'-lanterns and varying sizes, usually 2 or 3 feet tall, and you set them in the yard and you plug them in and they're lit up from the inside. I just love those things. They're so cheap and cheesy, but it's just screams, you know, old Halloween to me. And I've got a few of them. I'd love to get a whole yard full. I think that'd be just cool to have. Another decoration thing that I would love, I've only managed to ever find one out in the wild. And you can get them on eBay and stuff, but it's just the finding them at a thrift store or a yard sale or something is the thrill of the hunt. Is they're called melted plastic popcorn decorations. I never knew they had a name. What it is these, they only made, I guess they made a lot, but the ones you typically see are, it's either a black cat or a moon or a black cat and a moon or a witch or a jack-o'-lantern, and they're this, well, not a, kind of a hard plastic, and it's like stucco. It's kind of pointy to the touch. And I just love those things to death. I never had any when I was a kid, but I remember seeing them everywhere at Halloween, and they made them for Christmas, and they actually made them for Thanksgiving also, which is kind of weird. I love those things. And again, it's one of those things that to me just screams, you know, vintage Halloween, and brings back those memories of when I was a kid, and it just makes it, you know, makes the season that much more fun. Hey, if you have any Halloween memories, how's that for a segue? You can drop us a line at phantasmoad@gmail.com. That's phantasmode, all one word, @gmail.com. Or on the Phantasmo After Dark Facebook page, we would love to hear from you. You can drop us a line on that saying anything you want that's relatively clean. Let us know you like what we're doing here. Let us know you don't like it. Let us know about some topics maybe you'd like for us to cover. But hey, also always check the Phantasmo After Dark Facebook page for the upcoming podcast. And I will also, as always, for this one, like I do all the podcasts, I do a folder up there with pictures from the podcast of all kinds of stuff that we've talked about here. And yeah, sometimes I'll throw some trailers on the page for the movies that we talked about. So yeah, check that. It's pretty cool, you know, a lot of neat stuff. I try to find some really obscure pictures a lot of times too, so you never know what's going to show up there. One thing that gets on my nerves about the season though is a lot of these stores have Christmas decorations up and I'm putting the Halloween stuff, marking it down and pushing it to the side before Halloween has even gotten here. Oh man, that gripes me. And Phyllis can tell you, I curse that every time we go to a store and I see that, I get pissed off. But I'm not going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about fun stuff now. Oh man, what else? What else that just screams Halloween? You know, also too, now check locally, wherever you are listening to this, check locally in your area, like I said, for, you know, the haunted houses that pop up and also special movie events that go on. I know Fathom Events has done a couple things. They, I think, did Young Frankenstein select theater releases last week. I think this Shining is coming up somewhere, some other places. Always check on stuff like that. A couple years ago, they did Bride of Frankenstein, which I didn't get a chance to see in the theater, but that would have been amazing. All kinds of cool stuff. Just, you know, keep looking out for it and find it. And, you know, hey, if you do go to any of the haunted houses in the area here in Tidewater, drop us a line about that on the Phantasmo After Dark page or even the Monster Fest Facebook page. That would be a cool place. Drop us a little review of any of the local haunted houses. I'd love to know about them, you know, before I go out there and spend my hard-earned money on it. Hey, and also, too, you know, let us know if there's any other Halloween movies or Halloween-themed movies that I haven't talked about. And there's dozens of them out there. But if you've got a favorite, I'd like to know. I'd love to know what everybody's favorite is. That'd be kind of cool. I know there's a bunch of others out there, excluding the Halloween series, that is. And the basic stuff like, you know, The Nightmare on Elm Street and the Friday the 13th, which aren't really Halloween-themed, but they are horror movies. And, you know, people watch them all year. I watch horror movies all year long, but it just feels right this time of year and really helps you get in the mood. Oh, you know, hey, and speaking of movies, at Halloween, Carpenter's Halloween was released in 1978, and a few of the other movies that came out at that same year, which I knew, but I didn't really think about them in the same thought, was Dawn of the Dead came out in 78, I Spit on Your Grave came out in 78, three very different movies, really different overall. And, of course, Dawn of the Dead is part of the classic Romero trilogy, and just a great film. I Spit on Your Grave, I believe we've done a podcast on that, and is a very interesting movie in its own right. But Carpenter's Halloween just was really special and unique when it came out, and still is to this day. I'm really looking forward to seeing this with a crowd at the Narrow next week. That's going to be really cool to see that, and really interesting to see what type of people show up and see who hasn't seen it and see how they react. Because these days, you know, you get a lot of the what I call the torture porn movies like Saw and things like that, and people are desensitized to a lot of stuff, or they want the gore factor real high, and here Halloween is, which is super, super suspenseful. Oh, that's one I wanted to talk about, actually. Another movie that came out, I want to say it was the early 80s at some point. I call it a Halloween ripoff. And, you know, if you've never seen it, you would not think in a million years that a Chuck Norris movie would have anything to do with Halloween. But Chuck Norris made a movie called Silent Rage in the early 80s. And it was really a cool film. And you talk about suspense. My mom took me to see this movie when it came out at the Great Bridge Twin Theater in the town Great Bridge I grew up in. And we came out and she said she hated the movie because it was so suspenseful. It had her on the edge of the seat the whole time. And it was. It really was. It was very suspenseful. It had a lot of misdirection in it. A lot of, you know, something's getting ready to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And it doesn't happen. And then a second later, they scare the crap out of you. Fan, it's really great in that aspect. There's, you know, if you're not a Chuck Norris fan and, if you can get past that, it's really a good, creepy horror film. The basic premise is it opens up from the get-go. Gangbusters just starts off running. The credits roll, and this guy wakes up in a rooming house, and he goes downstairs. There's a phone call for him, I think. And he's acting a little off, and he's trying to talk to the doctor on the phone and telling him it's not working or the pills aren't working, and he's trying to take his pills, and he spills his pills, and he drops the phone and just starts to act weird, walks outside, starts like chopping wood and barely does that, and then comes back inside with the axe. The kids have gone off down the street to play, and he hacks the landlady to bits. You don't really see it or anything, but that's what happens. And then, of course, they hear screaming. The neighbors call the police, and the sheriff shows up, and it's Chuck Norris with his deputy, Flounder. Yeah, Stephen first plays his deputy in this. But they proceed. Of course, Chuck Norris proceeds to fight the guy and beat the crap out of him and brings him back. They handcuff him, and you think everything's okay. He's insane, so he has, you know, crazy strength. He breaks the handcuffs, and they shoot him full of lead. And that should be the end of the movie. Well, they take him to the local hospital, and Chuck Norris is doing his reporting, yada, yada, yada. The guy's pronounced dead. The hospital is also a research hospital. So down in the morgue or down in the basement, they take the body, and these three doctors, one of them being William Finley from Phantom of the Paradise, thank you very much, and Ron Silver's the other guy, and I can't remember who the other actor is. But they're working on this serum, and one of the doctors administers it to the guy, and he's still barely alive. And after the serum goes through his body, then he starts to heal. He starts to recover, and this is one cool scene where they cut him with a scalpel, and it heals right back up after him. So there's your basic premise, and he breaks out, of course, and starts going on a killing spree, going after the doctors, I believe. And then a few other people, and Chuck Norris has to hunt him down, and no matter what they do, he won't die. So it's kind of like and he wears a one-piece jumpsuit, kind of like Michael Myers. So it seems to me it's kind of a Jason take off on Jason and Michael Myers there. And it's a good movie, though. It's a really good, creepy, it's a horror movie with Chuck Norris in it, basically. And it's a lot of fun, and I recommend checking it out if you get a chance. Silent Rage. Again, who would have thunk it, right? But man, yeah. So busy this time of year, not enough time. There's so many things I want to do, so many haunted houses I want to see, horror books I want to read. I'm in the middle of probably about four or five different books right now that I haven't had time to get back to. I would love to sit down and go through some of my old Famous Monsters collection and read some of those, even some of the old Marvel horror comics. I've been saying for every year I'm going to sit down and read Werewolf by Night straight through. All 36 issues. I've got the entire run, and I say every year I'm going to sit down and read that, and I never have the time or get around to doing it. Frankenstein's Monster, I got that, have that series. Son of Satan. You know, the Marvel comics from the 70s, the horror comics, were fantastic. And one of these days I am going to sit down and read these series that I have managed to get in full. Hell, I'm lucky I got a chance to record this episode of the podcast, which is going to probably be a short one, since it is just myself here in the lounge this evening and rambling and on about Halloween and how much I love it, how fantastic it is and amazing. Hey, speaking of Halloween horror-themed TV shows, segue from nothing there, I did notice I was out and about the other day looking in some of the DVDs at stores, and Tales from the Dark Side, the complete series, is out on DVD. If you want to try to pick that up, I think it was like $29 or something like that at the Voldemort. That was a pretty cool series when that was on. Kind of hit and miss, where some episodes were really good and some were, okay. But the beginning was just creepy as hell. I highly recommend checking that out. Also, I think I saw, I don't know how many seasons, 1, 2, and 3 or something like that, of Tales from the Crypt, the HBO show, was out. And that was always a lot of fun. That's out there to get. Gone Munsters, of course, that series is out, been re-released again. And I did hear, I thought I heard somewhere that Kolchak, the Night Stalker, is going to be re-released. Those DVDs of that came out a few years ago, and I snapped that up, and man, I watched that over and over. That was one of the greatest horror series ever on television, in my opinion. So much fun. If you didn't get it, I don't know if it's out of print or not. I guess it is out of print if they're going to re-release it. But look out for that. The original Kolchak, the Night Stalker, in the 70s, not that atrocity using the same name that I think was at the Sci-Fi Channel tried to do a few years ago. So yeah, Halloween night. What's everybody doing? So many things to do, so many parties to go to. Everybody has a Halloween party. Every bar has an event going on. I think we're probably going to go someplace we hadn't been in a while for Halloween. I think we're going to go to the Narrow, to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That is a Halloween staple. You have to do it at some point or another. If you don't go anytime during the year, Halloween is the time to go. Man, we did that for so many years. Phyllis and myself, we used to be in the local cast here in Norfolk, and we actually ran the cast for about 10 years, produced, directed the show for about 10 years, and I performed in it for... Ooh, God, it was about 18 or 19 years. Played Frankenfurter for 14 of that. Phyllis played Magenta in Columbia for a good portion of that. And we had a blast. And every Halloween for those years, that's where we were. That's what we did for Halloween. And crowds were great. And the show was fun. And it's a cheap night out, cost of a movie. And you get a movie, and you get a live show, and you get crowds of people there who are there for the same reason you are, just to have a blast and act like idiots, run around in their underwear and in costumes and such. And no, I'm not going to talk about the thing that was, I guess it was on Fox the other night, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It wasn't a remake. It wasn't a reboot. It was what it was. And that's a whole another hour's worth of podcast I'm not going to talk about right now. But go out and see the live show Halloween night in your town somewhere if you get a chance. It's a lot of fun. If you're not going to a party, you're not going to a haunted house, or, hey, you know, go see Rocky first and then go do that. Support the local cast in your area, wherever it is. And on that note, I think that's going to about wrap it up for this episode here. I could keep rambling on and probably repeat myself over and over again about how much I love Halloween and this season and everything about it. But I'm going to call it a night here and get to bed because it is late in the lounge. And that's going to be about it. So, hey, I hope you enjoyed it. Drop us a line at thephantasmoad@gmail.com or on the Phantasmo After Dark page. Hope to hear from you then. And next coming podcast, will be, of course, 2 weeks. The week after Halloween should be the next episode. And I don't know if that one or the one after that, but coming up soon, we're going to have a special episode with a couple of co-hosts, one in the lounge and probably one via satellite, a couple returning co-hosts that have been on the show here before, and we're looking to be talking about the Karloff Frankenstein trilogy. So, and that'll probably be more than one episode. I'm betting that's going to be a two-parter. So check back for that. Not sure if it's going to be the next one or the one after that, but be sure to look for that. That's going to be a lot of fun, and probably a lot of good information is going to come out of that one. Hey, thanks for listening. Good night, everybody.